My name is Robbie C. I serve with the amazing team at Worship Initiative, and this has been a special night already, has it not? Just such a joy to have you here, obviously to have Pastor John here. We have a couch with multiple Shanes over here, and we're excited to just share a few minutes. Pastor John, I just want to jump in and just hearing you mention all of these songs. I had other questions I was going to start with, but I just want to ask you, after pastoring for decades, thousands of gatherings, I mean, tens of thousands of songs sung in those gatherings. For you and Noel, is there a song or two that you would just say, these have meant the most to us? These are our song or two that have just been special to you.
God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. That song. You know, William Cooper almost went insane. Didn't go to church for 7 years. Depressed most of his life. Wrote "There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood" and other songs that we love. That song he wrote, and pain serves us well because it produces amazing songs. And so that one, I think, has seen us through many, many times. If thou but suffer God to guide thee and trust in him through all thy ways, he'll give thee strength whate'er betide thee and bear thee through the evil days. Who trusts in God's unchanging love builds on the rock that naught can move. Nobody knows that song. I learned it in German.
I learned it in German.
Wer nur den lieben Gott lässt walten. And all seven verses. It's just that song got me through graduate school.
I love it. Do you remember it in German? I mean, just a little bit. Could you?
Do you remember what?
Did you say you learned it in German?
Wer nur den lieben Gott lässt walten, wer nur den lieben Gott lässt walten und hofft auf ihn alle Zeit, den wird wunderbar erhalten. Und blah, 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 forget the rest.
That's pretty good.
I mean,
that's pretty good.
That was 45 years ago.
That's the next song we're recording.
We're recording it in German.
It's going to be amazing. Shane, I'm thinking of you, like you coming to know Jesus. I mean, it was a song that was a catalyst for the Lord to save you.
Yeah, I did not grow up in the church. I had never heard the gospel. And I actually snuck into a youth group right before high school. I told my parents I was going to go play basketball. And I snuck into this little youth group. And I caught myself singing along. I'd never seen such a thing as this. And that song, well, these songs were, it's so nice to get to know you. It's so nice to get to know you. It's so nice to get to know you as my friend. What? You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You are more precious than silver. What? My mind was blown. I sang my way into faith. That was the only, talking about the word of Christ dwelling richly as we sing, it's how I got to know him. I didn't know that I could know him. I didn't know that he came to save me. And those things happen first in song. So yeah, singing's really special to me.
Amen.
That's incredible. You have had such a profound influence, I know, on the three of us. And even though you offended some worship pastors earlier, we forgive you. We love you, Pastor John.
In fact, my wife, I said no, but she's like, she put out her copy of Providence. She's like, can you have John Piper sign my book? And I was like, no. I'm not going to do it. I don't think he wants to.
I'll do it.
Come on. Bring the book up. One of the things that you have said in years past, I know that we've had a conversation about, and this was my plan, just to quote you and say, can you elaborate? Okay, so you said missions exist because worship doesn't. What does that mean?
Well, it does not mean because worship services don't exist. That was the first misunderstanding that I realized I had to fix. Missions exist because worship doesn't, and some took it to mean, oh, they don't have worship services. Well, worship services may or may not be worship,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Worship, in its essence, is valuing God above everything,
yeah.
Treasuring God, counting God worthy. That is not happening where Christ is not known. That's what I meant. So saving experience of Christ as the treasure of your life, the Savior, the Lord, the treasure of your life, that saving experience doesn't exist without hearing the gospel. Romans 10:15. How shall they believe if they don't hear? And so missions is the taking of the gospel, which quickens a valuing of Jesus, which may spill over, it will spill over in outward worship forms. So I just want to make clear that that sentence doesn't mean mainly worship forms, liturgical structures. It means the experience of the heart. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, "This people worships me with their lips, their heart is far from me." Well, that's terrifying to me. I mean, I've tried to devote my whole life not to let that happen,
yes,
and to help other people not let that happen. Oh my goodness, that's just awful, because you do not want to show up at the judgment day and say, I led worship. And he says, I don't even know you.
That's right.
I don't even know you, because it wasn't happening in here. That's what I was after.
Yep, absolutely. Shane, you got a question? I don't want to be the only one up here asking
a question. I know he feels that, because one time we were at a conference, and I don't know if you remember this. You've yelled at me twice, kind of.
Oh, I don't remember, but tell me what I said.
Yeah. We were at a conference, and these guys were doing this liturgical thing, and it reminded me of tonight, because you were really close to the TV, and I was like, we were in this little green room thing, and these guys were kind of what you're saying, kind of what you just said. It reminded me of that. It's just like they were saying these prayers, and it was very methodical, but you were upset, because you were like, they're talking to God. You're talking to God. And it's like the reality that we're talking to God is in, and I walked up to you, and you, because you were kind of in this moment, and Keith Getty had asked me to be funny. And I said, and it wasn't about being funny in worship. It was about, you know, hey, what's going on right now is really, I felt like he was like, this is really a bummer, right? What's going on? That's what I felt like. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you remember this?
No, I don't remember.
You don't remember this. Anyway.
But that's no comment on reality.
Yeah, so anyway, Keith had said, go up and be funny, and we were doing this giveaway thing.
Like the announcement, guys.
The announcement, like an announcement.
Lighten
hey,
it
lighten
up.
It up.
Lighten up.
Lighten it up, dude. These guys have been going for a long time. This is, people are falling asleep out here. And I was like, oh, Keith wants me to be funny. You go, don't you do it.
Admonishment.
He admonished you.
You go, don't you do it. Shane, don't you do it. And I was like, oh gosh. Pastor, I'm not, you don't remember that. I remember that.
Good.
I remember that.
I hope
but
so.
I did have a question. You had a sermon years ago, and the point that you made in is singing is for everyone. Do you remember this?
No, but
do you remember this?
Don't ever ask me that question again.
Okay. Singing is for everyone. Don't do it. It was in dismissing the devil.
Yes.
With song.
Yes. Ambushing Satan with
ambushing,
song.
Yeah.
Second Chronicles 20:20.
Can you explain that a little bit?
He already did in his...
I know, but...
I'm happy to talk about it some more.
I like that.
I mean, Satan not only hates the truth, he hates the love of the truth. He hates expressions of the love of the truth. I think that's why that woman was delivered. Because my reading the Bible didn't do it. Might have set it up and been instrumental, mm-hmm. but it was the turning of the Bible into heartfelt song that drove Satan out. He hates the love of the truth. So if you want to dismiss Satan from your services, create authentic, heartfelt love for the truth in preaching and in singing. That's he can't do his damning work there. So that would be the gist of what I would say.
Pastor John, the Psalms were the primary songs of the church for many centuries, and today they're just not as common. I mean, you can walk into a church and not hear the Psalms sung out loud. It's one of the reasons I think people are drawn to these guys' music is because so much of the Psalms is in their music. Mm-hmm. What have the Psalms meant to you personally, and then what should they mean to us corporately?
Well, I'm in a season right now where if I can't sleep right away, I say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who delivers you from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love, he satisfies you with good as long as you live. And I know the whole song by heart. And I'm regularly asleep before I finish it. That's a huge service. Now, here's the reason that's significant. Because I'm a man with a lustful temptation, right? I can create sexual scenes in my mind from when I was a teenager. This is one of the great reasons why young people shouldn't feed their minds on horrible stuff. And the way lust works is that it creates hormones. A thought creates a hormone. Don't know how this works. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I just know it works. And the hormone is euphoric. It feels good. Just the thought creates a hormone that feels good. That's a great temptation at 78 when I can't sleep. The way I defeat that, which I must, right? I must. Jesus said, if you don't gouge out your eye and put to death lust, you're going to go to hell, Piper. So you must. The Psalms have been my rescue. I know about, 10 or 12 Psalms by heart. Not all of them by any chance. And they are suitable for very precious occasions. That's just one. Another one is in facing many confusing decisions. Psalm 25. Since I was 25 years old, has been precious to me. He leads the humble in what is right, teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast, love, and faithfulness. So Psalm 25 is a guidance psalm for me. And of course, Psalm 23, I used it here when we did the sound check, recited the whole thing about an hour ago, because there's just nothing sweeter than goodness and mercy will pursue me all the days of my life. If you ask my wife, what's your favorite book in the Bible? She'll say Psalms, hand down. And that's probably true for millions of people, millions of Christians. And the reason is because the Psalms, more than any other part of the Bible, are heart. They're heart. They're poetry, and they're experiential, and they're raw, and they're precious. I mean, reading Romans and reading the Psalms are very different experiences. My dad was a Romans guy, and my mom was a Psalms person. And I'm glad I had both influences.
Yeah. I remember asking Shane B. once, what is the most requested song when people come to a Shane and Shane concert of theirs that they do not, that they don't do? And you said, Though He Slay Me, right?
Which?
Though He Slay Me. Though You Slay Me.
Though You Slay.
Would you tell that story, Shane? That you guys recorded that song. I know it was tied to Pastor John. Do you mind sharing that story about that song?
Yeah, that truth and that song started when my dad died, mm-hmm. suddenly. And then I finished it when a friend of ours who we were in community with, who was a doctor, called us all over, kind of emergency home group meeting on Friday, because on Monday they were going to cut his lower body off because of an infection that they didn't have. The only medication they knew to treat it didn't work. And so we just went over there to just pray. And there was all different kinds of people. You know, folks that were very charismatic and just claiming healing in the name of Jesus, and it's already gone. And then you had his sweet older mom, who was also very charismatic, but she quoted the Job passage, though you slay me, yet I will trust in you, hope in you. And that was the chorus of the night, as we sat in the wait of like what is about to happen. Turns out the infection was gone. We had the MRI, we saw it before, and then it was gone. And so it's just been it didn't happen with my dad, and it did happen with my friend, but that truth to sing in that moment has been really helpful for our family. And then when we hooked up with Marshall and the gang and John, and just seemed like the Lord had a perfect little snippet, you know, that John had been preached on just right before we recorded that song. And the Lord's used it. He's used that. The thought that our suffering's not wasted. And he's just used it over. We've played concerts before. Sometimes we do it. And one concert, this 7-year-old girl came up and said every word of your little preaching snippet. And we sang the song, and she came up and she said every word of it. Just a young lady who's had suffering in her life. And it's just been sweet.
Amazing. Pastor John, worship begins in the home, really. Would you just encourage parents? Maybe it's something you and Noel did right. Maybe it's something you wish you would have done with your kids. But as we're teaching our kids a theology of worship, to know, as you said, to know the Lord truly and to value him fully, what does that look like in the home for parents with young kids?
There are different times and ways to sing. This is probably really awkward for a lot of guys, and maybe some women as well, to lead out in singing at home, because they'd feel like, oh, that's so weird. I'm not a singer. When Talitha came along, our daughter, after 4 sons, come rest your head and nestle gently, and do not fear the dark of night. Almighty God keeps watch intently and guards your life with all his might. Doubt not his love nor power to keep. He never fails, nor does he sleep. That's why I blessed her every night for 18 years. At 17, she wanted me to sing that song till she left home. So I blessed her. I wrote that and I blessed her with that song. Bless your children. You don't have to be a great singer. Your 2-year-old will love it, right? Just love it. Daddy sang over me. And there are little songs you can find and sing. Devotions, you know, as a family, Noel and I still pray. We don't sing now like we used to, but we probably should, now that you've asked me, and I've said this in front of everybody. But we used to do that more. So I think including singing in family devotions is good. And then singing, I'm not a children's church guy. I think, say, starting at age 4, kids should be in the worship service, and they should stand there, quiet, be still, and watch Daddy sing. I mean, how powerful is that? A 4-year-old boy, a 4-year-old girl. Wow, Daddy sings. Because I'll get another thing off my shoulder here. I want worship services to be resounding with male voices. I'm glad a woman said amen, because that's true. That's true. If men are led to sing robustly, like warriors going to war, women love it, and they're happy to do their beautiful part with it. But if it's all women singing, the men come in and say, what? I got nothing to do with this. This is a girl thing here. This is a girl thing on Sunday morning. Oh, you got to find a way to get your men singing. And one would be, don't sing songs that are too high. Men can't sing high songs.
That's a problem for us, John.
And so, no song.
John, we sing high.
Well,
we're trying to get lower.
Okay. Well, I was just going to comment that first song you sang, and I said, "Is this singable?"
You know what, though? We do sing with the ladies, and we teach the men's part. So we sing an octave. We do. I do all my songs in the same key as my wife, and she's a worship leader. So we're just up there.
That's a problem. That's a major problem. I mean, I'm serious. All over America, if men find that worship services are a girl thing, they won't participate. And if you want them to participate and grow in grace and become strong, godly, humble leaders, then the worship leaders need to have a way to help them to sing. So bring it down.
So good.
Bring it down.
Thank you. Colossians 3:16 has been these guys. I mean, they started Worship Initiative years ago to serve churches. And that scripture has been foundational for them and for us. And so to have you here tonight walking us through that, to look at the book together, is a gift. So thank you. Would you please just join me in thanking Pastor John, these guys?
Yeah.